WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the mayor's legacy may not include a large sugary drinks ban, but it might include a complete reinvention of the city's 11,412 payphones. In December, the mayor called on Silicon Alley to redesign payphones. Over 125 submissions came in. They've whittled it down to six very cool designs, and they want you to vote for the best one. Joining us now is the city's chief digital officer, Rachel Hout. Rachel, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much, Brian.
So payphones, once a total necessity of life in the city, are basically unused. But instead of just tearing them out, the city wants to reinvent them. What are the goals and priorities? What do you think people want out of the new payphones?
Absolutely. So the focus of the Reinvent Payphones Design Challenge was really to collaborate and develop innovative ideas and approaches that serve New Yorkers. We know that they're using payphones less than they have in the past. At the peak, it was about 30 million calls a year, and now it's closer to something like 5 million. And we also know at the same time that during emergency situations like Hurricane Sandy, payphones actually retain their connectivity because they're so low voltage and they don't depend on the grid. So we do know that there are these important emergency uses of payphones, but we also know we need to evolve this infrastructure if it's really going to serve New Yorkers. So we know that the world, that New York is always reinventing itself, and we wanted to collaborate with the public on the future of what this really looked like.
There are six finalists. They're all basically very cool variations of communications and information hubs. Listeners, we put links to these designs on our site. So go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to take a look. Let's go through some of these designs. One is called NiFi, a riff on Wi-Fi. So it's an internet hotspot.
Yes, absolutely. So that's one of the prominent ideas that came up again and again. Why don't we reimagine payphones as the new Wi-Fi network for New York City? And it could create a mesh network, which means that as you move from area to area, you jump from Wi-Fi network to Wi-Fi network so that you're always connected.
An interactive portal to public information. So that could potentially provide access to information in an emergency, not just telephone connectivity?
Yes, and they also feature a range of apps. So it could use apps that use city data. It could use apps that help you get around the city and take advantage of restaurants and cultural events. So it was about being flexible and pulling in the best resources and the best way to get more out of being in New York City.
And listeners, have you thought about this at all? What would you like in a new redesigned payphone? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. I mean, with everything under the sun now on our cell phones or our smartphones, what could you imagine using a public payphone-esque booth for? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So one of the other designs is called NYC Loop, and this includes a touchscreen phone and a uniquely tailored public space, including something called piezoelectric pressure plates. That's fancy. What are they?
You'd have to check with the design firm. We did have a number of architecture firms, but essentially what it would do is convert kinetic energy into electrical energy. So one of the key elements, and we ask people to look at things like community impact. How can a payphone support local businesses? How can we make sure it's sustainable and using an energy-efficient source to power whatever kind of technology they have there? So here it does that. One of the other cool things about NYC Loop is it creates a wall of silence so that even though you're in the middle of a busy street, you are somehow able to have a very quiet phone call using some of the most cutting-edge technology.
Huh. Converting kinetic energy into electric energy. That sounds to me like one of those crank radios. Or maybe you ride a bicycle to create the kinetic energy and it powers the phone. I don't know.
Yes, I think it may be the foot traffic nearby. So they wanted the loops to be close to very highly trafficked areas. And they also wanted them to be convertible enough that they could respond to whatever's nearby. So perhaps the outside of it becomes an art installation featuring a local artist.
Yeah, so the rendering of that one has like a vertical garden on top of the phone structure.
Yes. Green themes came up again and again. Many of the designs incorporated greenery and plants so that these could essentially become gardens throughout the city.
All right. Here's one you may not have thought of. Jeff in Brooklyn is calling in with an idea for a feature that these new public payphones might have. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. I think it would be nice to have printers be connected to the payphone / internet hub. It would be nice to be able to print your boarding passes, your tickets to the movies or the play. It's something that I don't really have a printer. I always have to go to an internet cafe, and I thought it would be something that would be nice to have.
I think that's hilarious. And, you know, Rachel, at colleges now, many of them, they have printer rooms in the dorms, and they tell the students not to bring their personal printers and have one in every dorm room. Not at every college, I guess it depends how well they're wired. But I know of at least some where they're telling the students, don't bring your printers. We have printer rooms in the dorms. So this would be the public equivalent of that. Has that ever come up before?
It was actually one of the 11 finalists did have a printing function. It didn't become one of the six that were featured in the voting now that's on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NYCGov. But what it allowed you to do was to charge your device. So you'd leave it there, you'd get a receipt, and while you were walking around the neighborhood, the receipt would give you deals and discounts on local businesses in the area. So potentially the technology could be there.
Another one is called NYCIO, like I/O, in out. I understand this one the least, I have to say. The I and the O stand for input and output system. It's described as an open, urban-scale computing platform that allows the city to, quote, respond to and serve people. Sounds cool, but very general, and I don't get it.
It is, you know, it can be hard to encapsulate them in just a quick image. If you click through, it's a little bit like the interface reminds you of Minority Report. So you can swipe and move things around. So it's a total flat screen experience, and you can do everything from pay a parking meter to call a cab nearby. It's essentially about integrating multiple different services into one interface.
And another one is Smart Sidewalks. And this one packs in probably the most functionality of the lot and takes up the least amount of space. It's just 6 inches wide. What's that one about?
Smart Sidewalks is really interesting because it also incorporates the sidewalk. So it's not just limited to the device or the infrastructure that's actually above the ground, and it extends to the ground. So you can find all kinds of alerts. It also is very much focused on sustainability. And the alerts about the city can extend up through the device but also onto the ground. So as you're walking around, you get more information, and that could include a ticker of emergency alerts. And it really just embraces the city's infrastructure more deeply. And because it is on multiple surfaces, it's viewable to many different types of individuals, including handicapped, including children and different heights, different abilities, et cetera.
We're talking about the 6 finalist designs for new generation payphones in New York City with Rachel Hout, who is the city's chief digital officer, and taking your suggestions. And a few people are proposing this same feature, Rachel. So let's hear one version of it from Peggy in Huntington. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling.
Oh, how about a portal that I can recharge my phone with?
Yes, people are asking for what seemed to be in such short supply during Sandy, rechargeable phone stations for your own phone. Does that come in any of them?
Absolutely. So that did come in one of the finalists, but it unfortunately was not one of the winners of the design challenge. We can try to post that one, but essentially it would charge any of the sort of most widely used phone models. And again, you would leave it in a tiny locker, and you would take a receipt with you that was linked to the actual box, and you'd get a temporary code and come back to get your phone within an hour or whatever the amount of time. And again, while you were waiting for your phone to charge, the device encouraged you to patronize local businesses, so you'd be supporting the local community.
We're almost out of time, and in a minute I'll ask you to tell people how they can view and then vote on these six design finalists, but I just have to take one more call, lest we leave out perhaps the obvious, from Michael in Greenwich Village. Michael, thanks for calling.
Hey, hi, thanks for taking my call. The discussion so far, as I've heard it, is very elitist, okay? It is designed for middle-class educated people who are certainly somewhat affluent and to satisfy their needs. What about the person who simply has to make a phone call in an emergency? For example, I've had my phones knocked out many times here in our neighborhood, and then it's a matter of finding a public phone. I don't have a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of finding a public phone to notify Verizon, which is hellish itself just to get through Verizon.
Michael, thank you. And first of all, do all six finalist designs actually include phones in the old-fashioned sense? You can go and put in 50 cents or whatever and make a call?
Yes, they do. So all of these devices, and again, this was one of our top priorities in shaping the design, was to make sure that this served all New Yorkers and to make sure that especially in emergency situations, people are able to communicate. So you're able to make a phone call through all of these different systems. One example, Beacon, for example, has an LED system, which essentially means it's very low power. So it retains power even in an emergency and then runs on a backup battery. But yes, at the end of the day, you are able to make phone calls on all of these. And several of them also include direct buttons to contact the police department or the fire department or request additional assistance. And in addition to that, they offer the capability to speak directly to the device in any number of languages. So mm-hmm. It will respond to various needs.
Cheap?
The cost, because really the goal here was to collaboratively imagine the future of New York City's payphone infrastructure, it was not tied to specific constraints. So cost was not built into this. This was more about how can we think in a very innovative way about what the future of infrastructure and telecommunications looks like in New York City and really set the global standard. No city has really innovated on this in a long time, and why not New York City to be the perfect place to do that?
So you might get the 50 cent old-fashioned call, but some kind of charge per minute for Wi-Fi access?
Sorry, I thought you meant the cost of developing the devices themselves. The cost was not discussed specifically, but in some cases I think these would be fully subsidized and free phone calls that are subsidized by advertising or other business models. I think in almost no cases was there a cost required.
I think they should all have one more feature, which is a one-touch hotline to the Brian Lehrer Show call-in number. Do you think you could get that implemented?
Absolutely. I can see what we can do.
212-433-9692. Just tell people now how they can view the designs. And we have links on our site, so that's one way. You can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. But since you're taking votes from the public, and I should say these votes are advisory, they're not binding as to which of the finalists you will ultimately choose, but you do want to get a sense, I know, of which ones the public is responding to. So how do people vote?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. Again, this is about soliciting ideas. And then later on, our wonderful colleagues at the city's IT department and their commissioner, Rahul Merchant, who have been really great partners on this initiative, which is very forward-thinking, they'll take the best of those ideas and help to craft a plan for the city to imagine the future of infrastructure. So we encourage everyone to vote, and they can do that by going to facebook.com/NYCGOV.
Rachel Hout, New York City's Chief Digital Officer, thank you so much for talking about this with us. It's exciting.
Thank you so much, Brian. We're looking forward to it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Might they actually be making progress in Washington toward a grand bargain on the budget and the deficit? Maybe. We'll talk to Elizabeth Williamson from The Wall Street Journal in D.C. coming up next.